The backup team is back today. Brother Alexander called me Friday and said that he loved everyone, but he didn't want to give you what he had. To which I said, amen, brother, amen. So he's experiencing a little of the influenza. So we'll be the backup team today. And let me encourage you, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That'll be a verse that we want to examine and study together. But I certainly want to acknowledge the wonderful work that was done by the ladies and the ladies' lectureship yesterday. It was simply tremendous. I know that many of the ladies participated in leading singing, introducing our presenters, as well as being presenters themselves. There was a lot of planning, a lot of background work that was taking place that transpired to make that such a wonderful spiritual uplifting event. And it seems to me that we just want to acknowledge very much the hard work that all of the ladies administered in making that particular event a reality. I know that as I listened to the presenters a little bit, we did have the speakers on in the fellowship hall as the men were preparing breakfast and preparing lunch. And I thought I heard three or four very good sermons. That was my impression. So I want to commend the sisters on their work in preparing their lessons and presenting them as well. I just thought that they were truly very, very fine. And also at the beginning of yesterday, as we were registering people, I met one young woman, a Tongan, interestingly enough, and she was relaying her experience in coming and finding the truth of God's Word. And her experience was, as we were talking, she says, I'm thinking about being baptized for the remission of sins. Now, that would be New Testament baptism, teachings according to the Word of God. And she says, I've been baptized four times. I said, well, that's interesting. What is that? She says, well, I was baptized as a Catholic, as a child, as a baby, and really didn't know what was going on. And of course, you don't when you're a baby. Then I think she said, and I hope I get these right. I can reach her to verify this. She's from Palo Alto. In any case, she said, I was then baptized as a child in the Lutheran Church. And then she said, I was also baptized to be a member of the church in the Methodist Church. And I think her fourth baptism was to become a Presbyterian. And my reply to her was, isn't it wonderful that now you can truly experience baptism by immersion for the forgiveness of your sins? And she says, it is wonderful to know the truth now and to understand how to be baptized according to God's Word. Wonderful story. Had a deep impact on me, and we talked for several minutes, and I was just so grateful to see this young woman reaching out and being open and honest to the truth of God's Word. Wonderful, wonderful experience. And I just wanted to convey that to you to show that when you are involved in participating and engaging in fellowship, engaging in Bible study, engaging in spiritual things that strengthen you and help you, that invariably you're going to be blessed in some rich and wonderful way. Because that means that you're open, your heart is open, and you're receptive to God. And the Heavenly Father does a wonderful thing when you are open to Him and what He wants you to do with your life. He will come to you. Jesus teaches us this in John 14. He will come to you and He will be with you, the Father Himself, not only the Son, not only the Holy Spirit, but the Father Himself. And we'll see this come out now in our lesson this morning as we look at God's big picture for you. God has a plan for each of us. He has a big picture, as it were, and sometimes we miss that big picture for our lives because we're so focused on the little things that seem to be important to us, and I'm not saying they're not, but that's all we seem to see. This passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, on the other hand, shows us that God has a big picture for us. He has a template of how He wants us to be. Now, we may kick against that. We may resist that. And egotistically, at times, we may fight against it. Understand, we all have that challenge. Nevertheless, the Father is abundantly clear. He leaves no doubt, no hesitation, no equivocation in terms of what He wants to see in your life. Therefore, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the brothers and sisters, he says in verse 17, and I love this verse as it begins, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Think of the things from which we want to be free that ensnare us, trap us, hold us, and keep us from being the full potential and capability that God wants you and me to be. And then he gives us the method, the Apostle Paul does, as he's writing to the brothers and sisters in the ancient city of Corinth. He gives us the method and the means by which God's big picture unfolds in our lives. And thus he says, "And we, who with unveiled faces," nothing there in the way, "unveiled faces, all reflect or show the Lord's glory," what is happening to us is that we are being transformed into His likeness, and this takes place with ever-increasing glory, or as some translations of God's Word bring out the idea of this takes place from glory unto glory, one degree to the next, and this is from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, there are other verses that underscore this key thought, this key plan and picture for your life and mine that God is destined for us to experience. There is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 that we are being conformed, and that is changed and transformed to more of what Christ is and less of the problems we have in our lives. Then also, another buttressing passage is found in 2 Peter 3 and 18. We know this verse and we love this verse. Also verse 18, that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here are some of the key verses, and I call these two the 3:18s. 2 Peter 3:18 and 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. And they certainly emphasize that God plans for us to grow and mature spiritually. And God's truth now does not change. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about changing the unchanging Word of God. Therefore, it says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:16. But also notice the complementary passage where it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the truth of God's word is immutable. It doesn't change. However, I'm imperfect, and I do need to be changed. Now, at times, what do we fear the most? We fear what God's Spirit through His Word might do to us in a way that we might not want. Well, that's exactly the way that He will change us. Exactly the way He will change us. So we are at the crossroad, are we not? God has a very, very big picture. And we need to know and understand that picture for us. And we need, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we need to be open to His big picture. Don't pull up the drawbridge and keep God out of your life. Don't do that. Be open to the big picture. What is it that the Lord wants for me? And then we need to use spiritual discernment, wisdom, insight, application of truth to our decisions, and truth according to God's will. And then I would say, in a fourth way, we need to share God's big picture with others. We need to do that. So let's proceed with number one, God's big picture. Let's know and understand His big picture for each of us. Now, I need to make the resolution, and we talk about New Year's resolutions, don't we? This is probably a good time to reengage and reignite and reinitiate what it is that I need to do and resolve and commit myself to do for the remainder of the year. Got a few months left. Where am I in terms of my resolutions for 2016? Resolutions are a good thing. They're not a bad thing. So there's going to be a spiritual transformation unfolding, a spiritual change in my life, and this is clearly the work of God's Spirit. This is something that we can't do for ourselves. We need to avail ourselves to the power of God to work within. So some questions for us to ponder for just a moment. What does the present spiritual you look like? Think about that for a moment. From a Christian spiritual perspective, what do you look like to the Father? What do you look like to those around you? We want now to position the idea, what would the future spiritual you look like? And you say, now, Brother Doug, I'm kind of afraid of that. I appreciate that point. But that's where the Father is for you right now. The Father is saying, you're here at X, and I want you to be over here at X. I want that spiritual journey, that spiritual odyssey, that spiritual transformation to take place in your life so that the next X is upward more toward heaven, not staying on the same staircase step all of your life. So am I willing to let God mold me? We are not the potter. We're the pottery. And it is the potter that does the molding and the shaping. So changing spiritually is allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us and in our lives. And I love these two verses here, Ephesians 4 and 30 and 1 Thessalonians. They're wonderful verses because they say, grieve not the Spirit. And I need to ask myself, am I grieving the Holy Spirit's efforts to work in my life according to the will of God? And then also it says, don't quench the Spirit. And in a very real way, the Spirit is a spiritual fire. Want to be careful with that thought. But it is a spiritual energy, the Holy Spirit, He is. And I don't need to douse water and pour water on that spiritual energy and quench it and push it out of my life. I don't need to do that. Not if I want to be God's child. So what happens on the other hand? Interesting thought. Let's look at the obverse. Let's look at the opposite for a moment of a desire to spiritually grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I resist that, if I turn that down, God's plan, His big picture for me, if I refuse the Spirit, if I grieve the Spirit, if I quench the Spirit in my life, what are the consequences and what happens? Well, here's the negative side. And it's not altogether a pretty thing to see. We'll be left behind. The family of God moves forward. This is the sequence. We stay where we are. In immaturity. In childish ways, as Paul said, when I became an adult, I put away childish ways. Well, if there's no growth and maturity, then we have those characteristics of childishness. They're still there. They haven't been obliterated and taken away by the power of the Spirit. Our marriage decays sometimes. It stagnates. A lot of times people say that they're bored in their relationships. If you're a Christian, you're never bored with your mate. Because both of you are growing in the Lord. Your spouse becomes rather frustrated. You miss many additional spiritual blessings of the Lord. You become frustrated. You start becoming more isolated spiritually. That is the most dangerous thing that could happen to you because the devil works by division and by separation. And if he can divide you and he can separate you from the family of God, he's victorious in your life. You have lost the community spiritual support of the body of Christ. You're isolated and you're alone, and we know that makes you easy pickings for his temptations and his powers, that is, those of Satan. Even though you're isolated, the church, as we've mentioned, it moves on. It moves forward. So here are some key spiritual influences or forces in the life of each and every one of us. And these are factors for spiritual growth and becoming what God wants you to become, His big picture for each and every one of us. As I mentioned, we need to be open and receptive to the work of God's Spirit through His Word in our lives. We need to see life's situations, and this is a tough one for me. I'm not preaching to anyone else. My finger is pointed at my own very heart right now. But I need to understand that there are going to be some trials, there's going to be some temptations, there's going to be some experiences that I might not particularly enjoy at the moment, but that are nevertheless vital for my spiritual growth and development. And I need to see that, and this is what James underscores in James chapter 1 and verse 12 here, where he says, look, you need to see that when you fall into these temptations and in these trials, that there is a way that you are being perfected and made stronger and maturing spiritually. That's one of the realities we face. Not altogether pleasant at times, but James does say to us, you'll see the benefit, the spiritual benefit, at the appropriate time. This means then that we need to take time and responsibility for our spiritual growth. This is not something where you put it in the microwave. We baptized you yesterday. We put you in the big, humongous spiritual microwave. We turn it on for 30 seconds, and when the 30 seconds are over, out you pop as a mature Christian, being a Christian for 20 years. Maybe sometimes we wished it happened that way, but it does not. Number four, I need to hold. Now, this is critical in my estimation. I need to hold and practice a Bible view, belief system, set of ethics, set of convictions. I need to have a Bible world view according to God's word, God's wisdom, and God's truth that says this is how things truly are. Not what I hear in the community or in the world or from others, but how things truly are. And I love this verse 8, therefore, in Colossians chapter 2. See to it that no one takes you or makes you captive. Don't let anybody make you a captive through hollow and deceptive philosophia, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world. Don't let anyone take you captive based on those things. Where you stay, as the end of verse 8 says, you stay on Christ. That's the key. That's where truth and ultimate and only truth resides and will always be present. Then we need to find and follow some role models. We all need coaches. We never outgrow our need for training. We never outgrow our need for mentorship. We never outgrow our need for coaching, as I've mentioned. We never outgrow our need for encouragement and support to be more fully what it is that God plans for us to be in His big picture. The Apostle Paul said, "Be imitators of me as I am an imitator of Christ." Thank you, Brother Paul. Very well said. And then I need to place myself squarely, firmly, and tightly in the local congregation, the Church of Christ, the Kingdom of God. And it's in that spiritual united community that I can receive the spiritual nourishment to progress as God desires me to progress. I love these verses. We looked at one of them earlier this morning in our Bible study. I call these the two fours, Ephesians 4 and Philippians 4. And each of them talk about the importance of being in a spiritual community for the spiritual support, the dynamism, the wonderful blessing of fellowship and relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we are connected, we spread spiritual strength to one another. As we're isolated and disconnected, we have no access to that spiritual strength and encouragement. Now, take a look at one of these. Just one of the 4 points or 6 points. I picked number 4, to have a spiritual worldview. Look at things through the eyes of Scripture, through the truth of God's Word. Now, this means that we need to be grounded firmly, steadfastly, solidly in the truth of God's Word. And I love this statement from Jude's letter. Contend earnestly for the faith, once and for all delivered to the saints, to the Christians. And we've already seen being faithful to the Word and to Christ rather than to the philosophies of people, the traditions of men, or those things that say this is more important than the Word of God. Now, yes, I do teach philosophy and ethics and critical thinking from time to time. And one of the beautiful things about verse 8 and why I love it so, of Colossians 2, and we'll see it more so in a moment, Brother Paul is talking about categorical truth. There are some things that are always wrong, and they will always be wrong. They are in the category of wrong. There are things that are true, there are things that are right, and they will always be true and always be right, and they are in the category of right. Look at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are what we call categorical truth. Stealing is wrong. It'll always be wrong. You can't lie and cheat stockholders and say that's the truth. It is not. It never will be. And if you're a Christian and you're a senior manager, then you're going to make sure that you follow regulation FD, full and fair disclosure, based on the directives of the SEC to the best of your ability. You're going to be an honest business person. And there is plenty of honest money to make in the world. Candidly, I share at times, there's all kinds of honest money to make. You don't have to sell drugs. You just don't. We need to connect with God's big picture. There's a big picture that starts in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 that says that our spiritual battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the forces, principalities, and powers in the heavenly places. And if you will look at the idea of established truth, the first few verses there, verses 4, 5, and 6, we may not get to them in Psalm 25. Please read those verses a little later for your encouragement, and you will see that God is a God of truth. And the reason that's important for us is that it's only when we know His truth, and His truth can be comprehended, known, and applied. And when we comprehend it, know it, and apply it, we will be free from sin through the blood of Jesus by putting Him on in baptism by immersion. We will be free from error. We will be more free from childishness. We will be more useful to the Father in service to His kingdom. And then a part of the big picture is that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to share the big picture with others. So let the truth of Scripture, let that fill our minds. Guard our emotions. Let the truth of Scripture influence our conduct. It's really the way to go. All other ways pale. They are pseudo. They're not real. They're not genuine. Meditating, reading on God's Word. Think about God's Word. Think about a Bible verse. Try that. And you will learn to understand His ways more. And a wonderful thing begins to happen. This is not something we can do on our own and figure it out. Now, His ways are not like our ways. And His thoughts are not like our thoughts, based on Isaiah 55. We know this. But on the other hand, if I allow myself and give myself the freedom, and that if I'm open to His terms, not my terms, then there is the wonderful blessing of a deepening relationship with Him. I mentioned this a moment ago. Turn with me. Let's go to John chapter 14. Notice here what Jesus says now about our relationship to the Heavenly Father Himself. Jesus is showing us what God is willing to do in terms of our relationship with Him. And thus the Master teaches us. He says here, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things, and He will remind you of everything that I tell you. And this is what I'm telling you," back to verse 33, "that if anyone loves Me, he will obey My teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him," or come to her, "and we will make our home with him. And he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Notice, the Son says both the Father and the Son, they will come to you. They will be with you. They will stand beside you in your moment of tribulation and dire circumstances. They will be there. They will not run and hide. They will be faithful to their promises. This is wonderful. This is why Paul could say in Acts 17 that the Father is not far from any one of us. He is near. And once we begin to embrace this discovery, once we begin to see that God is faithful to His promises, that generates a confidence, a higher level of faithfulness, and your commitment to Him will soar. That's what will happen. Now, we may not want our commitment to Him to soar. I understand that. Because we've all got our little things over here that we kind of like to play in and that we like to do. But if you have something that's between you and the Father, if you have something that's between you and the Son, the Lord Jesus, if you have something that is between you and the power of God's Spirit, you've got an idol in the way, brother and sister in Christ and friend. You need to obliterate that from your life. Get it out of the way. You will come to the realization that you can trust the Father and His power in every situation. If hard times await, and they may, you will be convinced that the Lord, through His stupendous power, somehow or another, will work it out for you. And that's how much He loves you. And that's how much He cares for you. So God's big picture. Open yourself to that. Be open to the big picture. And this means simply, and here's the gist, it seems to me, of the study this morning, that a life grounded on the truth of God's Word is a powerful life. It is an influential life. And thus, when we live by the Word, we develop spiritual discernment. And I'll wrap our study up this morning with this key thought. Spiritual discernment. And here we can see that over in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. And I love what the Hebrew writer says here about diacresis. He brings out the thought that we will have diacresis. We will have discernment. And when you have that quality, it is a wonderful quality indeed to have. Why? You will stop making messed up decisions. We face the consequences of our messed up decisions. We need spiritual discernment. So here's what the Hebrew writer says, that if you have this, you will have the solid food that is for the mature. And what happens to them who by constant use, see, you can't say I'm a Christian, I set the Bible over here, and that's the end of that, and I don't read it anymore the rest of my Christian life. You're not using it. What do we say? What you don't use, you lose. So through constant use, what happens? Constant discernment, I have spiritually been trained to distinguish. I know what is good and truth and right, and I know similarly what is wrong, false, and messed up. And I know the difference based on God's Word. So discernment guides our choices and guards our hearts against deception. So God's way and big picture with the spiritual quality of discernment, I can demonstrate wisdom and godliness in my life, and we will have a more positive influence on those around us. And so with discernment, because you're grounded in the truth, and we're not going up and down the emotional thermometer, people say, we can trust you. You're reliable. You do what you say you're going to do. You deliver what you said you would deliver. And when you say no, we know it means no. When you say yes, we know it means yes. So the Lord is able, therefore, to give us greater responsibilities and opportunities in service. This is the full teaching of Matthew 25, the one talent individual. That's the full teaching of it. That here was a person who was able to get away with not doing what God wanted him to do and thought he would be okay, and yet it all comes crashing down because he did not see the difference between serving God and serving himself and doing what he wanted to do. And as a result, God simply could not fully bless him and couldn't use him. Just simply couldn't do it. So the spiritual quality, ability of discernment enables us to clearly recognize and distinguish good and bad, truth and falsehood in any given situation. And this is why Isaiah was right. I believe it's Isaiah 5 and 20, if I have the verse correct, where he said that you need to be alert. Be alert on those who will come along, and they will say to those who have no discernment, well, this used to be good, now it's bad. They'll come along and they'll say to those who have no discernment, this used to be right, but now it's wrong. But because we have been exposed to the truth of God's word, because we know that there is categorical truth, that what is wrong will remain wrong. What is right will remain right. What is false will remain false. What is true will always remain true. And therefore, we have, with God's blessings, the ability through discernment to be able to influence people and to firmly stand on the ground of solid truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God to do the thing that pleases God, and He therefore will mold us and shape us where He wants us to be so that we take the next step up the spiritual ladder to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now Michael has selected a song for us to sing, and we want you to know that hearing about the love of God expressed through Jesus Christ upon the cross is the greatest thing on the face of this good earth that God created that you can possibly hear. And then similarly, we hope as you hear God's word, the truth of Christ, that you will see that you need to change your life. That's called repentance in Scripture. You're going to change direction from my direction to the Lord's direction. And then you recognize that Jesus Christ, as we've alluded to already, is your personal Savior. No one else can do this but Jesus through the shedding of His blood upon the cross, that He's your personal Savior, and you will readily confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And as a result of that confession, you will be willing and readily willing to put Christ on in baptism by immersion, and therefore you will die to a life without God, and you will be alive to a life with God and with Christ and with the Holy Spirit in the kingdom of God. And that big picture for you that God has for you now begins to unfold itself and become the permanent, strong, spiritual reality that your life needs, and that's the way that God has planned for each and every one of us. We encourage you to come, not to us, but to Christ and the kingdom of Christ, the Lord's church, as together we stand and sing.